This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Only tonight we have two witnesses, and we're coming to you from not from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, but from a Hilton hotel room in Newport Beach, California. I needed to come out here for some business, and Jared, my grandson, is my driver. And we just came from a wonderful seafood dinner.
We've had such
a good time. It's really fun to have good fellowship with your grandchildren. And I do have that. Praise the Lord for that. And one of the reasons why is we have a lot of fun in our family, don't we, Jared?
I guess so, yeah.
You know we do. We've got Uncle Chi in the family, for one thing. That's Uncle Chip. But we do have a lot of closeness. We have a lot of fun on fun things. I'm talking just normal fun things of life. But we also have a lot of fellowship around the things of God. And it is written that there's no greater joy than to see your children walk in the Word and the things of God. That's in one of the epistles of John. So, Jared, it's a great joy to me to be able to sit here. And Jared has been talking to me about what he's learning and a book that God used and how he got into him. And really, to tell you the truth, don't you think that God started you off with that dream?
This one we talked about yesterday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really did.
Started you, kind of. He was guiding you.
Yeah, it really pushed like a rocket, out of the orbit.
Yes.
I was on the ground and the Lord.
And you were having these ideas. You were thinking about this and that.
I was with the Lord. I wasn't in the best place where I would want it to be. But I had questions for direction for my life. And I had questions about, I did have a desire to walk in a power for the Lord. Not for myself, but Jesus said greater things will do.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see that in the body.
So you're thinking about that.
So I'm thinking about it. And I went to bed that night. And it was, you ever have tongues when you pray in tongues?
Now, when was this, Jared?
End of August.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about it. And it just hit me. There's a difference between, well, it's an unction. But just praying in the Spirit. And sometimes, and you don't be moved by feelings at all, but this time it was like a fire that was like burning the energy to do it. It was like this energy, I couldn't stop praying in tongues over it. That night when I went to sleep, I was like, whew.
You were praying in tongues over the power of God being manifest in our lives.
And direction
for you.
And I was sleeping, and I was trying to go to bed, and it was like consuming me. And then I went to sleep and had that dream.
So tell the dream again for those who weren't listening yesterday. And besides, we were at the end of the program and you were rushed.
Yes. So I, first off, I walk into like a classroom setting. There's a young boy and he's reading his Bible. And he said, could you help me with understanding this passage? And as I looked at him, I go, sure, of course, I'll help you. And I looked up, and instead of a wall being there, like where the chalkboard would be, it turned into like a, not just a vision, but a real landscape, like a 3D landscape. And I saw trees, but they weren't filled trees. They were like winter trees. And it was a grassy knoll, but the grass was bright green. And it went from the right to the left. So the knoll that was high went left or right to left. And there were people in garments, spot white. And they were flowy. They were long sleeved. They were down to their feet. And they're one by one rejoicing and walking their steps down that knoll. And I knew that they knew who they were in Christ. They walked in a holiness. They knew that the blood cleansed them. And they're walking out their plans in God's life and empowered. And then and when I woke up, there was like a time before I woke up and my eyes were open. It flashed in front of me. Ephesians, or white, like in white. Ephesians 5:15. It was like, boom! And it woke me up. And it wasn't like I was reading Ephesians 5:15 a couple months ago or anything. It was like, hello, like warning signs. And so I wrote it, because it was late, I wrote it real quick in my, I recorded it. And then that next day I read it, and it was sovereigning. It was a fear.
It was a holy fear, probably.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awe, the awe of God.
Yeah, like, whoa. Like, he just talked to me.
So what, I don't know what a translation that you read. Which one did you read?
I have the New American.
Okay, read it.
It, well, there's first the first part. It said, "Awake." I saw this. It was 14, but it was. He wanted me to read that first. He said, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And he said Ephesians 5:15, but I read a 14 first, and that was like, whoa.
Yes, you were sleeping. Wake up. You were naturally sleeping, and you were spiritually sleeping.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it said, therefore, do you want to go on? Or you want me to read?
You read it.
"Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he goes on to speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody with your heart. But what it came down to for me was, but be filled with the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Wake up.
That really hit me.
Walk circumspectly.
Yes. Sure.
Know the will of the Lord. And how are you going to know the will of the Lord? Only by being filled
and
with the Spirit.
And I wasn't.
Be being filled.
Yeah.
Yes. So then what happened?
That I had that experience, so I was like, okay, stay filled. Stay filled in the Spirit. And then we don't have to go into it, but Uncle Chip's experience. But for me, for direction and the answers I needed, I knew to just stay filled. And then I came down here to help with some work from Minneapolis to Branson. And the Lord had me on Hebrews 10:19, or Hebrews 10, "Therefore be boldly and walk." I don't want to say the wrong scripture.
No, Hebrews chapter 10.
Hebrews 10:19 through 25. Hebrews 10:19 through 25. One night, the Lord had that real impressed on me. You know you have a scripture, you're reading it, but you know the Lord wants you to have something, but you're not seeing it. I was there for a couple nights.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I felt just impressed. My mom has if you guys haven't known, she's a mini Mimi. She's a little Mimi in the making. And so she has a library. And I looked and I go, "Holy Spirit, if you're going to guide me to a book, you're going to pick it. I'm not picking a book." Because, you know, and I did. And it was the book I picked. I saw "Let Us Draw Near" by Andrew Murray.
Okay, now let's just go back to this Hebrews 10. You quickly went over
sure.
that. So here's this in the King James. It says, "Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near."
Mm-hmm.
So then you've been thinking of the scripture.
And I knew there was so much to it, so much more to it.
Yes.
But then the Lord gives me this book, and I proceed to look into
it. So you just saw it up there in your mother's bookshelf.
I saw it, and I go, "This looks good." It was like my first book I picked.
Well, what? Now, let's cut to the chase. Before you start into that book, what has that book done in your life? God, through that book.
Oh, it's changed my life. It's changed my life. It's been just a greater revelation. It's the time that Andrew Murray spent with the Lord waiting on him. And just setting aside everything else, but spending that time in that revelation that I can just grab it, you know, and kind of hold on to that. It's life-changing, and it's been basically on Christ as our high priest. I knew him. I knew these things, but there's greater revelations, and it's changed my life.
Read us some from the book.
Okay. We'll read this. Okay, and this refers to Jesus as the second Adam. "No, as the second Adam, he is to nowhere if he is not in us." So he's comparing as what the first Adam did. He also, you know, he fell with sin, but he also created the flesh, that we have flesh. He said, that much more Christ, the second Adam, overcame the works that he did. Christ did, and he is in us that much more than our flesh. That's much more than when we see our flesh operating. That's much more Christ is indwelling inside of us. We just need to give him that time and allow him to work through us.
And so would you say that one of the revelations that has come to you through this book is the indwelling Christ?
The indwelling Christ, a complete salvation.
A complete salvation.
A complete salvation.
So a complete salvation. What do you mean by that?
I mean, we're of course we're saved when we're saved.
Born again.
Born again. But a complete salvation.
A complete salvation that would even affect your flesh.
Yes.
Even go so far as to affect your spirit, you're born again. But then that salvation would move on through your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then it would go into even your body, even into your being God inside minded. And your outside is affected by God on the inside. Bless the Lord.
Yes, when I first read that, I was like, complete salvation. But he said salvation is an experiential holy thing. It is not just your spirit. It is your spirit. It is your will. It is your mind, as you say. It is your flesh. It is everything. And he said, Christ, he said what God did, it's not just a partial, but it's all. Christ did everything all. He said it is done. And when he said it is done, he meant the way he walked, he empowers us to walk that walk.
Yes. So it's not just a matter of, Jared, this is the way I see it. It's not just a matter of missing hell.
No.
It's not just a matter of a fire insurance. It is a matter of he comes into us to move through our spirits and then into our souls, our minds, our wills, and our emotions, then into our bodies until we are his temple. We are the manifestation of God. Now, you said that he said, if Christ is not in us, then where is he? We're his flesh.
Yeah.
We're his arms. We're his legs. We're his temples. We're his moving temples. No longer is he just in a man-made temple in one spot in the earth, but he has a body that's moving about. Now, that body, of course, he's interested in souls. Of course, he's interested in men being born again and going to heaven. But he is interested in our manifesting God. And if we manifest God, we are going to need to manifest his power. And so I do want Chip to come on here and tell on the radio about his experience he had with that man dying. I don't want to, tell the story without him doing it, and how God told him that we need to stay in the Spirit. And that's what he's told you too, Jared. We need to stay in the Spirit. And tomorrow I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about how he's getting that over to you, a young man, 27 years old. Sometimes people think of holiness, as an old-fashioned term. But, oh my goodness, we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow.
Lots to talk about.
Yeah, lots to talk about tomorrow. And so this is Billy Brim and my grandson, Jared Houle, telling you, come back with us tomorrow as an older saint, that's me, and a younger one, talk about holiness and power. Shalom.